It's that time on the radio where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. How are we today, Bill? I'm feeling pretty fit
great
and fettle.
Thank you. I hope you are too.
Yes, sorry? Indeed. I'm saying I feel fit and fettle. It's an old expression, so it's come from somewhere.
It is a bit, yeah.
In the deepest of...
You're too young for that.
Yes, the deepest of my imaginations. Anyway, let's manage your investments when you're living in a different foreign country, Bill. And I suppose, excuse me, it is important for British expatriates to review their tax and estate planning to take account of the local tax and succession regimes. But what about their savings and investments? Do they need to review them too?
I think it's essential. Look, in today's world of fast-moving tax changes and fast-moving economic environments, especially given what's happened in the recent time with the market performance because of another shock to the markets that was literally unpredictable, the coronavirus issue, I think when those things happen, the natural inclination, and I absolutely perfectly understand it, I'm an investor, my investments have also suffered the same volatility that our clients have, but I'm invested for the long term, and I've balanced my investments to make sure I can tolerate the level of risk that they represent. And I know that from time to time, there will be significant downturns in their notional value. But of course, you don't lose anything when you make an investment and the markets go down unless you actually capitalize on your shares or stocks or whatever it is at that point in time. If you hang on to them, the market recovers, of course, you get the benefit of that. So, you know, reviewing your savings and investments, and frankly, they aren't necessarily capable of, in my opinion, of being divorced from the tax issues that cover them as well. Because whilst it's important, of course, and most of our clients who come to us before we give them advice have usually got a whole raft of very sensible, well thought through investments, whether they're appropriate to the current circumstance or not is another matter. But generally speaking, they've made very sensible investment choices. But if you are going to make those choices work for you and they give you positive, worthwhile results, why would you want to hold them in a form in which you then pay a huge chunk of your profits away or your income away to the taxman without any need to do so? There are plenty of legitimate, well-established, regulated structures that can hold your assets that will reduce your overall income tax rate, will eliminate, in many respects, capital gains tax, and eventually reduce the incidence of wealth and succession wealth to inheritance taxes as well. So I think it's vital to review your savings and investments on a regular basis, but it's also important to make sure that you've latched that into a proper tax and succession planning structure.
So what about listeners, Bill, who've been living here for a while? Is it still useful to review your savings from time to time?
Yeah, I think it is, Howard. I think, you know, one of the issues when you're looking as Blevins Franks do to manage your client's wealth to your client's advantage is to make sure that complacency doesn't take over. It's very easy sometimes to have set up a portfolio for the longer term and think that because that's what you did at the outset, it doesn't really need a great deal of attention in the interim. Well, that just isn't the case, and that's why we have an investment review structure enshrined within our client services, so that every 6 months or 12 months, whichever the client wishes, and in between those periods if the client wants it, of actually reviewing the savings and investments that they've made. Because, you know, individual circumstances change, sometimes without warning, new grandchildren, you know, divorces, remarriages, illness, health, you know, there are lots of things that change that you don't have necessarily factored into your portfolio because they're imponderables that you didn't really consider to be relevant at the original time. And so it's quite important if you're a British expatriate living anywhere in Europe to make absolutely sure that you are up to speed with what is happening in the investment world in conjunction with the tax planning that's necessary to make sure that you optimise the net result of your lifetime savings and the hard work that you put into making them.
So what are the key questions that people should ask themselves when conducting a review?
I think before you start a review, you need to ask yourself perhaps the following questions. They seem fairly basic, but just bear with me. First of all, what are your objectives? What are you looking to achieve? Do you need an income to help finance your life in retirement, or just to, you know, have a bit of extra spending power? Are you looking because you have enough pension income just for your assets to grow in value to protect you against the long term and inflation? what's your time horizon? I mean, short-term investors normally need to consider different options to longer-term investments. Do you want your savings to last just for your lifetime, or are you actually taking action to improve them, to pass on the wealth to your partner, spouse, and your children? What are your circumstances? It's necessary to identify what your monthly costs are. What pension or savings income do you have? Do you have to consider funding other members of the family, school fees, university education, elderly parents? Are you in good health, as that forms an important part of the strategy that might be put together? Are you expecting to stay in your chosen country for the longer term? Should your investments perhaps be in euros or sterling, or a mixture of those? You know, converting sterling funds into euros for your spending expenses within the EU puts your income at the mercy of exchange rate movements, and therefore it's often most advisable to have a mix of currencies to make sure that you've hedged your bets a bit. And how much investment risk are you really comfortable with? Well, there's no question you should never take on more investment risk than you're comfortable with. If your investment portfolio at risk keeps you awake at night, you better talk to your advisor quickly and reduce that level of risk. Investments are about making money, not keeping you awake.
So, Bill, you were talking about the importance of establishing your attitude to risk. How early should you do that?
I think at the outset, it's important to establish, and it requires quite a deep investigation of the financial circumstances that the individual client is in, and the expertise of professional, regulated and independent advisors to assess together, in a sense, in a form of a partnership with the client, what level of risk the client is going to be content to take in pursuing their objectives. And the fact of the matter is that we have established a very thorough methodology, if you like, using both personal expertise and the input from the client, which is probably the most important element of that discussion. But we will also use a very highly regarded specialist method of trying to determine an individual's tolerance to risk independently and objectively, outside of the Blevins Franks advisor's control, if you like, and also outside of the emotive issue that often is reflected in a client trying to assess his own level of risk. The Oxford University professors have set down a whole raft of information that is available in a question and answer situation to help determine the level of risk a client is prepared to take. And that is vitally important, because we want clients, of course, who are satisfied that they're making money, but within an environment where they tolerate the ups and downs of the investment market. Obviously, no one wants, neither the client nor Blevins Franks, want a client to be in a state of panic every time the market falls by 2 or 3%. We have to understand how the markets operate, how they're likely to benefit you if you remain solid at times when things become a little shaky, and to make sure that your returns are in line with your expectations over the longer term.
Yeah. So how can you reduce risk within your portfolio to a level that you're comfortable with?
Well, I think, we talked about this many times, Howard, but eggs in baskets. Diversification, I think, is the key to managing risks within an investment portfolio. You know, different investments clearly carry different levels of risk. So it's down to the advisor in discussion with his client to determine which balance of cash, equities, bonds, fixed interest securities, which balance works best for the risk profile of the objectives you're looking to achieve. Sometimes a client will explain an objective which seems out of sync with their ability to tolerate the risk necessary to get them the results they're looking for, and therefore it's a question of a partnership again, negotiating and discussing with your client quite how they want to position themselves so that they're comfortable with the investment risk of the portfolio. I mean, the investments that you take on as a client, you know, they need to be properly diversified just to ensure that you're not overexposed to any given country or asset types or sector or stock. And by spreading your assets across different asset types, equities, bonds, corporate bonds, property, cash, and markets across the UK, the US, Europe and emerging markets, you're giving your portfolio the chance to prove that it will give you positive returns over time, without being vulnerable to any single area or stock underperforming. You know, there are times when one market will be down like the pistons of an engine, and another market, for contrary reasons, will be up like the piston of an engine. And that's essentially how a portfolio often works, where one piston is up in the air, the other one is going down. So therefore, you need the diversification to make sure that you're making returns whatever the market says. And you know, there's one other factor which Blevins Franks has specialised in now for about 20-odd years, and that is the utilisation of what's called multi-manager approach. It's used by many other businesses now, but we piloted this 25 years ago. This is where several different fund managers are selected by external advisors to Blevins Franks, who tell us where those best fund managers are, and we then blend that mix of fund managers together to reduce the client's reliance on any one investment manager making the right decisions in all market circumstances. The old idea that one advisor could give you all the right answers in every sector of the market in every different asset class is a nonsense. That's the general practitioner approach. The specialist approach is now to use specialist fund managers and bring them all together as a group under your portfolio manager, and Blevins Franks manage the managers, as it were, to make sure that your objectives and your risk tolerance is met by blending these people together to get you improved returns.
Yeah. So how do you go about setting up your client's portfolio to meet their objectives within what you've mentioned, this risk tolerance?
Yeah, I think it's again a question of discussing generally in an open environment. What assets does the client have? What are they? Where are they? What are they valued at? What is your intention with them? And how can we make some changes to the things you hold, if that's what you're looking to do? And in what form should those changes take place across a diversified portfolio of assets? And then, having got general agreement on what you're trying to achieve as a client, it is then to run the client as an individual, often as a couple of people, partnerships or a married couple, through a whole raft of highly sensitively developed questions by the Oxford professors that I mentioned earlier, to try and get us to the end point, which is to determine for both the client and ourselves where we believe the risk profile should be situated. And there we're then able to pick the right assets to match into that risk profile. It might be that the client still feels somewhat uncertain about that. Well, maybe we should scale it down a bit in the early years and actually continue to keep that relationship with the client going based upon whatever their changing risk tolerances are for the future.
And what about taxation, Bill? Does the way you hold your investments make a difference to how much tax you pay in Spain?
Absolutely, absolutely fundamentally, the answer to the question is yes. Not only does it make a difference to the tax you pay, the converse of that statement is, if you have established your investments in such a form that they're held within a properly regulated, legitimate, long-standing, if you like, tax-favoured structure, you're going to pay not less tax. You're going to end up with better returns on your investment because you won't be giving up some of your hard-earned money, which you've invested wisely, to the tax authorities unnecessarily. These structures are put in place under the statutes of a variety of countries around Europe to make sure that they incentivize thrift. And those techniques, those strategies, those devices, those structures, they're used to house investments and give the investor a 1 + 1 = 2.5 result. A tax-efficient structure, to summarize, will keep most of your investments in one place, so they're easy to manage and administer, but also provide fundamental protection to help you legitimately avoid paying unnecessary taxation. And of course, as I say, the less tax you pay, the more returns from your investments you're going to enjoy for yourself and your dependents and beneficiaries.
Yeah. And how can people get in touch with Blevins Franks, Bill?
I think if you already know of Blevins Franks, you can go to the website and make arrangements to talk to them about your particular circumstances to see whether or not there is a need for you now to review the holdings of investments that you have. But if you're new to Blevins Franks, listening into this for the first time perhaps, then go to the website at www.blevinsfranks.com, and you will find there a massive raft of information specialised, if you like, not just to the country that you live in, but also to the local offices that serve our clients and have done so for 40 years in the area in which you live with great success. So worth a view, the website, and if the website encourages you to call the office, I think you'll find the conversation you'll have with the people in those offices worthwhile.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Bill. We'll talk again at the same time next week.
Great pleasure, Howard. Have a good week.